You are a disgrace. I think you're terrible. I don't like the way you sing. I don't like anything about you. Oh. I don't want to see you. Just get out of my sight.
Who am I? Who am I? Who am I doing?
You're Martin. Hi, Martin. Why are you saying that to me?
No, I'm doing an impression of somebody.
Right. I did wonder why you were talking
you're
like
terrible.
That.
You're absolutely awful. I just don't like... Oh, no. It's a no from me.
Are you Donald Trump?
Donald Trump? He doesn't talk like that.
Are you Simon Cowell?
Yes, I'm Simon Cowell, who features, bizarrely, in this episode of Nolpois.
Nolpois is shameful.
Nolpois is lack of respect for viewers.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nolpois is no fun.
Yes, hello. Welcome to Nolpois. We don't
It's a
just
no from
do.
Me. It's a
oh,
no from
you.
Me.
Thank you. It's also a no from me from that impression, I'll be honest. We don't just do terrible impressions on this show, though. This is actually a Eurovision fan podcast. I am Laura, that's Martin with the terrible impressions there. And yes, we're here to talk all about Eurovision. We don't know everything, but we're trying to learn. Today, a lot to talk about in terms of Eurovision interval news. We've got some news about that. Obviously, Trivia Time will be coming back as well, and we'll be doing our new feature, which we've brilliantly titled Compare and Contrast.
Yeah. Much like a GCSE art exam or an English literature paper, it is the wonderfully titled Compare and Contrast. It's where we look at songs that were put forward for 2020 Eurovision, the one that never happened, versus the same person singing a brand new song that they're putting forward for 2021, and we're going to decide which one we prefer. And as Cress mentioned, Trivia Time is making a reappearance. So all of that on the way. But first, you mentioned... Oh, and of course, we're going to talk about why Simon Cowell is of interest. But first, interval news, as you rightly say. If you are slightly new to Eurovision and you don't really know what it's about, And you sort of, why are we talking about the interval? This is a big bit of the Eurovision Song Contest. It's become bigger and bigger and bigger as the years have gone on. The bit between us seeing all of the acts take part and then the maths bit where they go around and they ask people what points they got. There is an interval where people can vote. Now, this just used to be people twiddling their thumbs, but it's got bigger and bigger. And
well,
in some cases, it's pretty much just people twiddling their thumbs. It's literally just people just sitting there going...
Just going...
waiting for that.
Hurry up.
Ooh, yeah. You finished voting yet? And basically, it gets weirder and weirder every year. And
more
and more amazing. And we have now a few little ideas of what's going to be happening for the interval act this year.
We do indeed. So we'll start off with the big news that there's a lot of former winners who are going to perform as the interval act. In fact, six. So we've got Lenny Kerr, who won for the... who represented the Netherlands in 1969. The Teachins.
Good old Gary Lenny Kerr,
yes. Teach-in
Ding a dong,
ding a dong, yes, ding a dong
every hour when you're in the shower.
Netherlands again, because obviously it's being held in the Netherlands in 1975. Sandra Kim for Belgium, who represented Belgium in 1986. Helena Paparizou for Greece 2005, who won for Greece, obviously, with My Number One. My Number One. I love that song.
And you sing it so well.
Just as good, I think. Lordi are going to be performing, who obviously won for Finland 2006. Mm. And guess who's the last one, Martin?
Is it by any chance Mons?
Yes, it's Mons. Mons is back again for Sweden, who obviously won with Heroes in 2015. Mons just can't be put away from the Eurovision stage, it seems. He's there all the time. I'll be honest, the reaction from fans on Twitter hasn't been the best at the news that Mons is once again returning to Eurovision. People saying, couldn't they have got somebody else? No, I mean, I like Mons. I think he's great. And I like his enthusiasm. But I think people are saying Mons has had his day. Maybe it'd be worth getting somebody else to perform
in
the Eurovision.
Do you think, Cress, there's a chance he might do Heroes?
I think there's a huge chance. If you ask me to put money on it, I would say yes, I would. So there you go. There's going to be these six artists singing their Eurovision winning songs. performing. One little side note to this that I'm interested in. Do you remember, cast your mind back, Martin, where we talked about Alexander Rybak and the fact that he said that on Instagram that he had been invited to perform at the Eurovision
Interval.
I
remember this. He threw a little party, didn't he? Alexander Rybak, or Rybak, is the guy with the violin. You know the one.
Yes,
the one from Norway.
Yeah.
You never see him without a violin. We're not sure he actually exists without a violin. But
he sang Fairy Tale.
Yes, yeah. I'm in love with a fairy tale. Even though I've got my violin. So that was him. Yes, he did. He got a bit upset, poor little boy.
He did. Well, he claimed that Eurovision asked him to be in the interval act, and he said, "That's great, but I need to check the dates." They said, fine. Then he came back a week later saying, "I've cleared the dates." And in his words, on Instagram, he said, "Eurovision says, in inverted commas, fuck off, we asked somebody else."
Oh.
Basically denoting that Eurovision asked, maybe it was Mons. So I'm just wondering what happened there, whether this was the interval act that he was, he claims he was invited to take part in. We don't know. I don't think the EBU or Eurovision ever replied to that and straightened that out. So who knows what was going on? But it sounds like they had invited him, and then either he took too long, or they found someone else got back, and poor old Alex isn't in the interval anymore.
I just remember the photo that went alongside his.
Yes, it was strange.
He put this post up saying all this, and then it was just a picture of him looking forlorn, fully clothed in a bath.
Yes, in a full bath, a black and white picture, him looking kind of distant and forlorn.
Do you know why he's sad?
Why?
No violin.
No violin, that's true. Well, it could be under the soapy water, we don't know. Though that's not a way to store your violin, Alexander. I'll just say that. You're doing great damage.
And there's a euphemism if ever I did hear one.
Indeed. So there you go. Alexander missing out, but lots of artists, including once again Mons, taking part in the Interval Act. We also have a little bit of news about who else is going to sort of be performing, because we have the Interval Act and we have other performers at the final as well, sort of peppered at the beginning. As the night goes through after we've had all the acts, and we have I'll tell you the people we have. So Afrojack, do you know Afrojack?
I've heard of Afrojack. Does he do a lot of kind of like remixes of things? And
He you might remember the hit he had with the Ava Simons, "Take Over Control." I want you to take over control.
No, I don't think that's made it any more clear. No, don't carry on, because I'm not going to get it.
People at home will know what I'm talking about. Sure. But yes, so Afrojack is going to be performing. Basically, it's himself, it's Glenys Grace and Wolf. And that's a singer, by the way, not a wolf. W-U-L-F. Not, okay. They're not bringing a wolf
on
stage.
You've got your Glenys Grace, you've got your Afrojack, and you've got a wolf. And we're just going to see what happens.
And just a wolf, why not? So the idea is with this is Afrojack the DJ is going to be performing with Glenys Grace and a classical orchestra and wolf. And the idea is they're sort of marrying classical music and dance music. Dance music, arguably one of the biggest exports of the Netherlands. And basically they're linking them together and doing this. I don't know how it'll work, how they're going to link that together. I'll be honest, I don't really know who Wolf is, but
I've never heard of Glodis or whoever it was.
Glenys Grace.
Yeah, never heard of her.
No.
Anyway, I'm sure it'll be great. That's the only. What do you think the interval act's going to be like then? Because we know it's going to be the stars of Eurovision's gone by. What are we thinking it's going to be like?
They're just gonna. I think they're just gonna sing their winning songs. I'll be honest. Oh. I think that's it. And maybe there'll be some interesting way we do know that there's going to be a bit as well that the rooftops of Rotterdam will be part of the grand final. I don't think it was part of the. I don't know if that's the interval act or another segment, but there's a Rock the Roof segment as well. Apparently it will serve as part of this year's interval performance. So the artist will be on roofs somewhere. Feature the roofs of Hotel New York. So different places across Rotterdam.
Okay.
And just I don't
we
know.
We are the heroes of the roofs.
Just sort of hanging. just going, hello, waving from a roof somewhere.
Can I come down
now?
So
very interesting. Yeah, hello, I'm still up here at the end of the night. Can I come down, please? So there you go. Interesting as always, these interval acts. Don't forget, I mean, Eurovision obviously has had some fantastic interval acts. Riverdance, of course, it's the first time it
famously
was performed, and that's where it came from. So it can be a good thing, but it can also be quite terrible. So let's see which one it will be.
We need to talk more about my brilliant impression that I did earlier on.
No, we don't.
Oh, no, we do.
I don't think we do.
It's a no from me.
It's just awful.
I'm saying no.
No, he doesn't sound like that.
I think he does a little bit.
No.
Quite posh, and he says no and mean things.
But he doesn't go, it's a no from me.
Oh, it's like he's here in the room. Hiya, Simon.
It's a bit plummier. He's a bit, no, I hate it. I think it's terrible.
Okay, we're talking about Simon Cowell, who is waded into Eurovision in the most wonderful of ways.
Yeah.
Not anything to do with this year, but Simon, well, you say, Chris, because I just think this is worth hearing a million times to just get my head round it.
Yeah, it's a strange one, really. Simon Cowell, who you know from as an X Factor judge, certainly in the he's created the X Factor, in fact, in the UK. He's going to help choose Israel's Eurovision 2022 artist, which is in this TV show, The Next Star. He's going to help, along with Netta, it should be mentioned as well, who won, obviously, Eurovision 2018.
I'm not your toy. Not your toy, you stupid twat. Stupid twat.
Those aren't the lyrics. Netta, who won in 2018 with that song. Not some of that song, though. So they're going to be judging this TV show, The Next Star, and that's how they're going to find the Israeli singer for Eurovision 2022. So normally, I think it's found through The X Factor, but instead this whole TV show is going to come about, and that's how they're going to choose. It's actually not new, sorry. It's the fourth season of the show, but for some reason Simon Cowell's getting involved.
Okay. It's a no from me. You won't go through. You won't represent Israel at the Eurovision Song.
Why does he sound constipated?
I think it's good. There's your Simon Cowell news. Shall we move on to a brilliant new feature called Compare and Contrast? Yes, in this feature, we take a song that was due to represent its country in 2020, but no longer is, because 2020 isn't happening. Instead, the same person...
It did happen. You say this every time. 2020 did happen.
2020 didn't happen, and instead, the same person is representing the same country, but with a completely different song in 2021. We listen to the two songs and we decide which one's the best. Who have we got this time?
This time we've got Victoria, who is representing Bulgaria.
And here come the two songs, and then we'll have a little chat about it. First, this is the 2020 entry from Victoria. It's Tears Getting Sober.
So there we go. That was Victoria with Tears Getting Sober. And that was Bulgaria's 2020 entry for Eurovision. Now we go to the next entry in 2021. Victoria, obviously, again. And this is Growing Up Is Getting Old.
Do you know what? It's not too dissimilar, is it?
I was going to say the same thing. They both are, you know, quite gentle, quite lovely. She has a very lovely voice, Victoria. And I agree, they're both quite pleasant and quite slow.
Yeah, which I know that you and I are certainly more fans of the, in general, were fans of the faster, kind of more go-y stuff. But that isn't to say that there's no room for slower songs in Eurovision. She's got a lovely voice, really nice. And there's real kind of sincerity and passion, I think, in her singing. And that comes across really, really well. The subject of the song as well, I think the 2021 maybe is a little bit more relatable. You know, growing up is getting old. I think it means something. If I had to pick, though, and I know I'm getting to this maybe a little quick, but if I had to pick, I think I prefer the 2021. You know, sorry, the 2021, as in rather than the 2021, is what I'm saying. Yeah,
I do see what you're saying. Yeah, I think there's a bit more of a richness to growing up as getting old, and I prefer that one a bit more. But it's tricky because I think they're both pretty good songs. Obviously, I think what will matter with this, because as you say, it's a bit of a grower. I think both of them are a bit of growers. Certainly the staging will be very interesting to see what she does with growing up as getting old. For me, I think there's just a little bit more there, but I agree. I mean, last year she was one of the favourites to win.
She was, yeah, she was. And again, because of that passion and that sincerity in her voice. I just wondered, the reason I maybe preferred the other one was because I thought Growing Up Is Getting Old, it was a little bit weirder.
Perhaps.
And I thought it was a bit too kind of off center for people to sort of get what she was trying to do if they only heard it kind of once
that's
or twice.
True. That's fair.
And that's why I went with the other one.
That's fair. I think that's fair. I think they're both good songs. So I think she's really quite loved by the Eurovision community. I think they really get her and that she's bringing this sincerity to her Eurovision songs. So let's hope she does do well, even if she, you know, doesn't get in sort of the top three or something. I can still see her doing very well and doing well outside of the contest as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we will be seeing more from Victoria outside of Eurovision, as you say, because I think she's really, really got something. If we're summing this up, then I'm saying Tears Getting Sober 2020 is the one for me. And are you saying this year's?
I'm saying Growing Up Is Getting Old, Martin.
Well, it's a hung jury. So who knows? Well, we'd like you to know
well,
actually.
Let us know. Yeah, what you think.
All the details of how to get in touch coming at the very end of this podcast. But right now, it's time for the return of an old friend, like sliding into a comfy slipper.
Oh.
It's back. It's
Trivia Time!
Oh yes, the bit of the podcast where we bring you some nonsense information from Eurovision's gone by to learn a little bit more about the history of the competition, and Cress has something wacky.
I do indeed, and this is about a particular song that came out in 2006's Eurovision. It's one you'll probably remember. I think most people will remember this song. It was Lithuania who decided to fool us all with the song We Are the Winners. We are the winners of Eurovision.
Yeah.
In fact, let's play a little bit of it now, just so you can. I'm not making it up. There was a song called We Are the Winners. Here's a little segment. Eurovision. So yeah, that was the song.
It's
it was
good.
Called
I mean, come on, it's iconic.
Very repetitive, very repetitive. Proclaiming Lithuania to be the winners of the Eurovision Song Contest. The lyrics, very simple, not much to it. We're the winners of Eurovision, so vote for the winners. The band, you won't have seen what they dress like there. Sort of all dressed in the sort of similar outfits. I think Terry Wogan warned, keep an eye out for a bald maniac who may be Harry Hill's brother. So that's what he had to
saying
say.
That, yeah.
Do you remember that? Yeah, because there's a bald guy who comes on and does a weird little dance in the middle of it and sort of goes a bit mad, quite frankly. He didn't disappoint. He burst in this kind of sudden dance routine. That the The poor performance was booed at the end by some of the Greek audience. Yeah, booed because people just, you know, I guess objected to the sentiments of the song.
It's a bit arrogant, isn't it? It's a little arrogant.
It's a little bit arrogant. Of course, the question everyone's asking is, did Lithuania win the song contest with We Are the Winners? The answer is no. They finished sixth in the final that year. But hilariously, it's still, at the moment at least, their best result to date. They have not beaten sixth.
Sixth is pretty good.
Sixth is pretty good. Now, of course, Martin, you know who won in 2006, don't you?
Oh, it was Lordi.
Yes, well done. I was just seeing if I could catch you out there.
No, I didn't remember. And you've literally said it earlier on in the podcast. So
I know, because I was going to really get you if you didn't.
You were setting me up for a big fall.
I was,
Wasn't good enough. Wasn't good enough.
Damn it.
You know what this has reminded me of, though? It's reminded me of that Ireland entry with old Dusty. What was his name? Dustin the Turkey.
Where they
just sang about Ireland getting 12 points. And then, which is, I mean, pretty similar. In a way.
Wasn't it called, I think...
Elon
it was
Duspa,
called
Duspont, wasn't it?
Yeah. Ah, oh, Dustin. I mean, I love that Ireland were like, we'll just send a bloody puppet turkey.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's better than Jedward. I'm joking, it's not better than Jedward. We love Jedward.
Well.
Okay. There you go. A controversial end to this week's...
Trivia Time!
Okay, now, Cressy, we're almost at the end of the podcast here, and I believe we've got a bit of correspondence, as we often do.
We do indeed. Now, don't forget, of course, you can get in touch with us. There's plenty of ways. But don't forget as well, we have a YouTube channel called just simply Norpois, and it's a thank you to everyone who's recently subscribed. We've got lots of new subscribers. And it's basically where we go through, and we'll try and do another one soon. It's just been a bit of a mad rush recently with all the Eurovision songs coming out, but basically it's where we take a song in Eurovision's past that got nullpoints. We go through it again and we analyze whether it deserved those nullpoints, whether we feel it did, and talk a little bit about the history of that song. So our very first one we did was Norway's Jahn Teigen deserve nullpoints with Mil etter Mil. And thank you very much to Jane Slater who commented on that, saying, I saw yesterday this Jahn Teigen entry on Song for Norway. It was really beautiful, in a different, more intimate setting, and gentler and more melodic. So basically, Jane's saying that when it was on for Song for Norway, the selection process, it was a lot sort of calmer, perhaps, compared to when it came out in... the actual Eurovision in for Norway. And she said, liked it at the time as a 12-year-old in the UK. There were worse songs. The nullpoints made him internationally famous, as we mentioned on the show.
Yes.
And it was a huge hit in other countries, unlike Gemini. So there you go. Yeah.
Not a lot of love for the old Gemini.
But I think fair play, Jane. And it was, you know, perhaps performed, or at least Jane thinks so, at a, you know, maybe a bit more gentler, more melodic when it was on Song for Norway, and less so. Which, I mean, he does give it a good old go, doesn't he?
He really goes for it. He does his very, very best. But
so,
yeah.
Thank you very much for that, Jane. And do check out the videos we have. Mm. We go through Gemini themselves. We do also discuss them. And our recent one that we did, Mona Lisa, as well. So lots to look at there. But if you do want to get in touch with us by any other means, we're also on Twitter, @Nol. We're on Instagram, Nolpois Podcast. Send us an email to nolpoispodcast@gmail.com. And of course, if you're enjoying all of this, do subscribe so you get up to date with when each episode is out, and give us a 5-star review on iTunes, because we love it.
Oh, we love it. Thank you for... Should I do one more impression of Simon Cowell? It's a no from me. I say to you, get off my stage.
Why is he... He doesn't speak like that. It's terrible. You know,
it was bad, I'll give you that. Thanks for listening to this edition of Nullpois. We'll be back with another one very, very soon. Take care, stay safe, adios.
Bye. You're banned from ever doing impressions again.
It's a no from me.
Oh, God.